Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show, streaming live on BBS Radio from California and syndicating to over 100 stations globally and numerous podcast platforms, including Podopolo. I'm your show host, Yvonne E.L. Silver. And my mission, if we haven't met, is uplifting the spirit of humanity. And I do that by showcasing amazing women who've risen from tragedy to triumph, from a point of chaos to confidence, rising to success, and are now making a massive contribution to their community and often globally as well. Now, as a female founder and entrepreneur, a certified executive coach and chartered HR professional, I've helped thousands of people find excellent career choices, and in the past 10 years, supported senior women to excel in their leadership and especially in evolving their confidence. So today, I work, in addition to podcasting and radio shows, as a coach and mentor to mission-inspired entrepreneurs and conscious leaders who are ready to flourish in business, yet often struggle with self-doubt or being heard in a man's world. So I'm really excited to interview my guest today, Laurie Shaw. And Laurie, you're on the line, right?
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
So we'll do your formal introduction in just a moment because it's quite lovely. To finish off my comment, mastering confidence and finding your authentic voice, if you're a woman, is really critical to being able to negotiate what you want, make more sales, grow a business, grow a team, and have a sustainable business or career that is fun and successful. And when we have those enhanced communication skills, we can then authentically lead to expand and engage the team, have a business with ideal clients, and have balance as female entrepreneurs or female leaders and be great role models for our kids, which I believe is super important. So welcome, Laurie. I'm excited that you're joining me because we both have experience in the IT industry. So to introduce Laurie, she's been 25 years in the IT industry in Alberta. We're up in Canada, just north of Montana, at the base of the Rocky Mountains in beautiful Calgary. And she's worked with several well-known Canadian corporations, including WestJet, CP Rail, TELUS, and Shaw Communications, in the capacities as a leader of product manager and project manager. Ooh, that's a mouthful. I need more coffee. And Laurie has a passion for women in leadership, which is a core value and a key focus to help drive IT leadership for working mothers and to drive the adoption rate for the women in the IT industry here in Canada. She has a keen interest in helping those whose triggers are holding them back from their potential and has evolved her spirituality and natural gifts over many years. So we're going to dive into a couple of topics today because Laurie began her certification into energy healing about 10 years ago, currently holding certifications at the master level in Reiki, level 3 for angel card reading and theta healing. And she's bringing forward all of her interests from being a very small child in a First Nation with values, spirituality and elder healing practices, which really resonated very deeply with her at her core, at her root. And she's using these values and practices in each and every one of the healings that she's now offering at a healing business located in Northwest Calgary in beautiful Canada. So these are practices where her healing business focuses on using that blend of Reiki, Theta, and varied other healings to what she describes as healing her client from the inside out. Ooh, interesting. We'll talk about that too. She believes in healing the very core soul of her clients and starts the healing process typically by uncovering the triggers that will help her clients steer clear of any repetitive or harmful behaviors. And she's helping during COVID, in particular during the pandemic, by helping her clients to deal with the stresses associated with the current and professional traumas through self-healing and soul revitalization. Oh, magical work. So, Laurie, I'm so glad that you could join me today. I've personally experienced your healings, and I have to say that It's deep, it's rich, it's creative, and spiritually masterful. That's really the best way I can describe it. So I was intrigued to see that you also had also worked in the IT industry and spent quite a little bit of time there. So where should we start? Should we talk a little bit about your background and your story, or should we talk about that IT, women in IT element first?
Maybe women in IT first.
Women in IT. Okay. So I worked in the IT industry as well about 25 years ago, my first full-time job here in Canada, after coming here with a Canadian educational company, oh, sorry, with a British educational company. You can tell from my accent, I'm not born in Canada. And it was at that time very much a male-dominated environment. We had a few very successful project managers like yourself, and I think that part of the reason they were successful is having that long-term vision and the compassionate, caring understanding that this is a difficult topic often, working with technology, and it's got to work. It's got to be that blend between what the developers want to create in their wisdom and what the users find practical, and that in itself can be a bit of a balance. So what are you seeing today as trends or new things that perhaps I might not be aware of because you're working in that industry?
Well, I think what the big component is, number one from an IT women in leadership is always bring your strength of love and family into your daily routine. And when I say that is always make your family important. So really make that priority time. If you have little ones or even older ones at home, turn off your devices and spend that quality time. So whether it's an hour, 45 minutes or 2 hours with little ones at night, always make sure that you bring family and the strength of family into your practice on a daily basis. What I always do is continuous learning with IT. So we look at technology, we look at new apps. There's lots of different free training that you can get, even on LinkedIn, to make sure that your breadth and knowledge is always current. There's a lot of free training right now, especially during COVID, just to make sure you guys are updated on some of the best practices, some of the AWS learnings, or even if you're just learning online applications, there's a lot of courses also on YouTube that you can actually take free. So always continuous learning. There's a lot of workshops that you can take, and there's a lot of podcasts, just like Yvonne is hosting today, that you can actually learn.
Mm-hmm. And well, I totally endorse what you're saying. I mean, when I was interviewing and hiring, I think I interviewed and hired about 6,000 people in my career. The technical skills was always what the project managers wanted to dive into. And I was, because I didn't have that technical background, I was building out my human resources skills. I was very concerned with a fit with the values. So what are your values and how do they fit with the organizational values? Because I think that you're right. If you're smart and you're dedicated and you are wanting to make sure that you're fully employed, if you want to have a job as opposed to a business, then make sure that you are on the leading edge, that your knowledge is current. And this is a perfect time if you're in between positions to be honing those skills and making sure that you are the best candidate, because you're showing that you're keeping up with the trends, you understand the technology changes and what the advantages are of different technologies one over the other. So great tips. You were also starting to give another tip as well.
Yeah, so every role that I've done is always lead people. So whether you're in a group, whether you're leading a team, working for a director, is share your knowledge. Knowledge shared within an organization is very important to bring people up within that organization. So whether it's coffee break, mentorship program, even people that might not be in your organization, somebody that might be interested in getting into project management, program management, or really just want to have information on some of your best practices, just share that information, because really that one conversation can really change somebody's life.
Oh, I love hearing you say that, because that echoes what I have always believed as well, and one of my professional colleagues, Dr. Ravi Gundlapalli, actually uses that very expression that one conversation can change the direction of your career, of your life. It can, because the beauty of mentoring, as you and I both know, is sometimes mentees or protégés, they don't even know the questions to ask yet because their brains have not thought that big. they couldn't anticipate, you know, what are some of the big challenges of implementing an enterprise-wide technology change, because they've not had that experience yet. They haven't had a taste of it. So how could they possibly imagine what that would be like? And that's where I am a big supporter. I mentor. I have a number of protégés every year, design and implement mentorship programs as well. And if organizations are not implementing mentorship within their own organization right now, which is a really cost-effective way to address, you know, the dip typically that is happening with formal training. You know, most organizations cut training. That's one of the first things when there's an economic blip. But to have a mentorship program, if your senior people are mentoring those with less experience, you're going to keep them engaged and you're going to have more opportunity to keep them within your organization. So your top talent is going to be thirsty for knowledge. They want to grow. So if you're not providing mentorship, guess what? They're going to go for it outside the organization to someone else in the industry. And as soon as our economy really cranks up again, those are the companies where they're going to come and poach or be looking at your employees, because they know that they're talented and that they've been seeking out mentorship. They want to learn. They're thirsty to grow. And that's when you lose people. Yeah, great point, Laurie, there about mentoring.
Thank you.
And I love the piece about family as well, because so much of our time in the past 6 months in particular has been, for many people, working from home. You know, that's been the new norm here in Calgary, many other places across North America, across the world, where there's been a literal shutdown and we haven't been allowed out. And so working at home very quickly turned around in Calgary. I think it was around March 12th. That many organizations started emptying office towers, giving their employees equipment to work from home. And we've been around family so much more, and yet it can be a bit of a challenge putting that dividing line in place between work and home when you're working off your dining room table. Mm-hmm. And your kids will see that. So I love the point about the strength of family and making sure that we are practicing in front of our kids what are some of those key practices that we know will serve them later on, and having the phone at the dinner table. I mean, really, is it really required? No.
Yeah, what I find is you're actually working longer hours, so it's really important to turn off those devices and really spend some time with your family. Get outdoors before the snow hits. Get out there and see the sunshine, and really spend time with those little ones and the ones that are growing and maturing in your household.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to women in IT in particular, I'm curious to know, you know, what have you observed about what we maybe need to shore up in the way of, you know, best practices or ideas for how to help more women get promoted in IT roles? What have you experienced that you've seen working really well, or what is it that you recommend when you're talking about this and advocating for it?
Sure. So the first thing is, most women in the IT industry, they do feel intimidated. A high percentage feel intimidated by in the IT industry, based on not having the knowledge, not having the background, and maybe they want to aspire to be in more senior roles. The way to get there is continuous learning, continuous mentorship, and number one, don't hold yourself back. Because I find that some women in the industry will say, no, like, I'm just, you know, I don't know that background. I really feel intimidated with, you know, some of the men that are actually in that industry. You know, they're a little bit more technical than me. Don't undercut the value that you can offer to that team. based on your background, because everybody brings something to a role. So the other key thing is when you're doing the interview, be prepared. Understand some of the questions that you might have or get in the interview, and be very prepared before you actually get into that interview. The last thing that I just want to share is make yourself important. Self-love, self-healing, and really love being you. Like, love being you. What you can offer to the organization, what you can offer to that role, is really taking that first step. Yeah.
That's so, so important. And, you know, there's a couple of things I picked up on. And as you shared, women very often will say, oh, you know, they just have more technical expertise than me. And as the author of the best-selling book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, when I put that book together, I was looking at, you know, what are the top 40 words that I know from working in the past 10 years, coaching women specifically, what are the things that, you know, the words that get in their way that destroy their confidence, or that drag them down or drag them backwards and make them question themselves. And just is one of those words that is mentioned in the book. I had a conversation with a lady who did an article for Huffington Post, another coach, Ellen Petrie-Lenz, got her permission to include it in the book. And she talked about how she'd written this article saying, you know, don't include the word just, because it disempowers everything that you say after that in your sentence. So I just wanted to X, Y, Z. Well, it sounds like you're begging. So stop. And after the article ran in the Huff Post, she got so many people coming back to her and saying, oh my gosh, I've removed that word and I can't believe the difference it's making in how people are treating me and how much more important I feel just because, there's that word again, I eliminated that word. So there's a tip for the day. If you haven't yet read my book, you know, I encourage you to pick up a copy. There's 39 other words and word concepts in there. Just is one of those things that you need to take out right away when you're describing your capabilities. The other thing is, as an interviewer, I echo what you said there, Laurie, about the value part. If you can describe, when you go for an interview, how you save the company money, how you were able to generate new customers, how you were able to impact retaining customers, how you were able to impact employee engagement. Were you able to put together or volunteer for a special project, like a Go Green project, or something that was good for the community, good for the environment? Those are just a few examples, but when you can quantify them, you can actually showcase your value. So you don't have to talk about yourself or be uncomfortable talking about yourself. You just speak to the facts. You speak to your results, the percentages of difference and impact that you're making, and that will stand you in great stead to be promoted or to be considered for a position over another candidate. So get the numbers down, know what they are, because your value can be described, no matter what job you're in numerical terms, in some way, shape, or form. And if you can't quite figure that out, how to do that with your role, I encourage you to reach out to me after the show. So let's talk about this topic of self-care, and let's hear a little bit more about your intriguing story of how and why you chose to focus your energy on these healing practices, and what are you bringing forward from your First Nations culture and the elder healing practices that you learned as a small child.
Yeah, so my background is I'm First Nation. I'm from Muskeg Lake Cree Nation, Saskatchewan. I've spent a lot of time with my grandma, my cook home, when I was quite young, and she introduced me a lot to some of the healing practices that she had. She was a medicine woman for a band, so she had, you know, smudge kits when people came to see her. She was able to provide tonics to people with any ailments, and she actually used a lot from the land to actually heal a lot of the people within her community. And she did that from the earth, so it was actually not, you know, a Western medicine. It was actually from the earth, from a healing perspective. So she did teach me a lot. As I went through my 25 years being in the IT industry, I went through Pain, some gain. So I've lost family members. I've lost a son at birth. I've gone through broken marriages, and I've had some health issues. And I found to the core, I had to heal myself in order to heal others and love people around me. So I started my own energy healing within the last 10 years, and I was able to work through spirit. So people that have passed on, namely my son and my grandma and my ancestors, I bring that into my practice to actually resonate and increase the vibration in the room and through the healing, and bring the creator to actually look at each individual, each client, to see what they need. Is it something that we need to alleviate from a trigger perspective? Maybe somebody is, you know, on drugs, or maybe they're, you know, they like to drink, or they like to gamble, or there's really some trauma. They've been in a car accident, they've been in a bad marriage or breakup, or been abused. I really get to the root, and I understand what the triggers are for each individual client. We release those triggers, and we get right to the core of the healing. Some of it has to do with self-love. Some of it has to do with really understanding who that individual is, and to bring out self-love and self-healing so they can actually open up to other people within their community, within their family, within their organization. So I really get down to the root, Yvonne.
Yeah. Well, having experienced several of your sessions, you know, not because I was, you know, drinking or drugs or any of that, you know, that stuff, but certainly, you know, I think many people have heard me talk on stage as a speaker, or have a copy of my book and understand a little bit more about my story with growing up with a father with PTSD, came back from the war, took a bullet in Dunkirk, and when he married my mom, he literally took over. I mean, he took the power in the relationship. She was a working mom. She wasn't in IT. I think she was a secretary, actually. But she was a business professional woman who was married later in life. I think she was 32, 34, somewhere around there, which was like being on the shelf. I mean, it was like back in the day, you know, you didn't get married that late unless there was something wrong. And she married my dad, and literally in the marriage, he drained the dignity right out of her. I mean, he was angry all the time, and he just was untreated. And so that rippled over into the way that he treated us as kids. Me in particular, being an adventurous rebel, was always getting in trouble. I was always, you know, the one getting the leather belt, or, you know, getting told to, you know, that I was basically being grounded. And, you know, it was not a nice family environment to grow up in. And that left a lot of emotional scars. And so I know that the work that you do is hugely helpful. And certainly, you know, for some people listening, this might sound a little sort of out there, a little woo-woo. However, at the end of the day, we know that when people pass on, their spirit and their soul still very often has work to do. And the fact that you can tap into those ancestors and tap into some of the other energy healing practices is really, really powerful. And tell me a little bit about the card reading, some of your favorite cards as well, because your sessions are quite unique in how they all come together with the healing elements that you use.
Sure. So when I first interview a client, I feel their energy, and I feel almost immediately what they've come to see me about. But I need to uncover a deep root from either angel card readings or archangel cards, and I will do a blend of a reading. And from these angel cards or archangel cards, I can really get to the root of what the issue is for each and every individual client. Each one of my sessions is custom. So in it, it could be a little bit of card reading. It could be a little bit of Reiki, which is energy healing. And theta healing is a new practice. So that one actually gets to your belief system. As a child, we are believe what we taught within the industry, from our environment, from our community, from our parents. And sometimes when you get to be an adult, that belief system needs to be modified or changed, because some of the beliefs really affect one's life, really affect your family, and really affect moving forward in life. So I actually get right into the belief system. I ask a lot of questions, and it's interesting because most people or most clients in my sessions, they might have an answer before I ask the question, but their body will be modified and might give a completely different answer than what their mind is thinking. So it's actually, it's very interesting, some of the responses that I get in Theta Healing. And Yvonne, you could probably resonate with that. Again, my blended practice is modified for every single individual. And at the end of the day, I help remove those triggers. I help self-healing, and I help my clients to move forward, especially during COVID, because a lot of these triggers are coming up as we spend a lot of time self-healing or being within one specific household. A lot of these energies need to come out. I hope that helps.
Yeah, well, certainly for the listeners, I think, you know, we all have varying levels of understanding. You and I both took Reiki at the same time. That's how we first got connected with our Reiki master, Dixie Bennett. And right away, I mean, I could tell that your depth of wisdom and knowledge and intuitive skills were far in advance to many of the other beginners in the room, even though you were formally taking that training. And, you know, even in our first session, you know, you were picking up energies that were in that training room at a very different level to what I was. I mean, I had been drawn to that session when Dixie was sharing that she had a Reiki session coming up. And as she was talking about it, my hands literally started buzzing, which I've now learned to connect is actually one of my spirit guides, whose name is Martin. And when he shows up, my hands start buzzing, and he's trying to get my attention about something. So, you know, the work that we're doing together is also continuing to evolve my awareness about how to tap into those guides as well, which is really quite intriguing. So it's a very neat way that you work and very powerful in terms of the healing. So I am curious, I mean, other than obviously we're spending a lot more time, most of us, at home, and a lot more, you know, of those family things are surfacing where, you know, anytime that there's a change involved, there's, you know, money involved, there's kids being around that aren't usually there, there might be extra family members staying over, we can't travel as much, so we're, you know, feeling perhaps a little more confined. There's different things that come up. But I am curious, you know, what have you seen that's really been a noticeable shift in what is surfacing for people during COVID?
I just find within the household, because a lot of family members are staying within their household, all that energy is contained in the house. So whether, you know, there's an argument in the house or if there's something that happens within the house, that energy stays and it resonates, and it could actually transfer to some of the individuals in the house. So some of the key elements are to release that energy, open the windows. I use sage. Some people use different types of spray to release that energy. It's really important to get that energy out of the house and out of those individuals. Yeah.
Well, this is reminding me, I just recently reconnected with a lady that came and did some feng shui on some of the rooms in my house. I'm talking about, you know, the power of energy. And I mean, I have crystals dotted in certain places in my house to offset the shape of the room or to highlight where the energy needs to be drawn to. And I know that, you know, you use quite a lot of sage and different elements that you bring into your work too. What, tell me a little bit more about this, the history of using sage to do smudging, because that's always been a curiosity of mine.
So that is a First Nation practice. So it was sweetgrass and sage. We actually, any type of negative energy that's attached to you, we actually bring in the creator, which is a higher being that actually will come in and release that energy for that individual. So we'll smudge under the arms, around the body, under the feet is really important, behind the head, fully before we actually go into a healing session. Because it is a lower vibration that's in and around you, we have to release that lower vibration or attachments in order to really perform true healing on an individual. Yeah. So First Nations have been using healing practices, smudging, tonics, from the land healing for hundreds of years. And that's what I'm getting back to, is really bringing that into my practice. And also bringing my ancestors into my practice.
Mm-hmm. So a session is typically an hour to an hour and a half, or 90 minutes when you first meet with someone. It's been so long since we first met, I've forgotten.
Yeah, it's about 90 minutes long. So in there, I do a blend of the three different modalities. So the readings, we start with the reading, then we get into a little bit of theta questions to really understand the beliefs of that individual. And we can do it either face-to-face or remote. And the last is followed by Reiki and then a smudge session before you leave. So we make sure we ground every individual and we do a smudge session to make sure that you're really grounded and we remove any negative energy before my customers leave their session.
Mm-hmm. And you're up in the northwest, around Northland Mall area, right?
I'm in Cambrian Heights, so just off North Mountain, 14th Street. So it's really close to Nose Hill. And really, it's a great little shop where I bring my clients. I only do referrals, so if we're referred again today by Yvonne, you can come forward and take my sessions. And I think Yvonne is going to actually offer a session at the end of this interview.
I am. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss out. Now, the other thing about having a live radio show is you get the opportunity, if you're listening in and your curiosity has really been piqued, you get the opportunity to dial in and find the answers to some of your questions. So this is your opportunity to do so. We're going to keep talking and just open up the lines. So you can dial in on 712-775-6619. And that number again is 712-775-6619. So tell me a little bit about, how do you, I know this is perhaps a while ago, and yet I think that these things are so important to understand. You know, when you have a tragic loss, like losing a son, or you're working with a client who's had a loss and is in grief, how do you move forwards from that? What are some of your first recommendations? What are some of the things that you do or you can do to help with moving forward in life after something so tragic?
Yeah, so in my sessions, a lot of the times I'll channel spirit and the spirit will be in the room and I'm able to recognize who that spirit is. A lot of times they are providing healing and wisdom. So they're able to share with me, how they've passed, and the specific client, a lot of questions might come forward and I'm able to connect. So the first is recognizing that the individual has this loss. And a lot of times it'll stay within the chakras within somebody's body. So when they think about that loss, it triggers and makes them feel exactly the way the day that they lost that person, and it resonates within the body. So what we do is we try to remove those triggers and to start the healing process, because a lot of people that have lost individuals or lost people within their family, trauma, loss at a child, at a teenager, at youth, or even as a senior, they're able to connect with me and we're able to, start the healing process for each and individual person. Yeah. Hope that helps.
It does, yeah. And I know that it's, I had another lady, a fellow coach of mine, Melody Chardonnay, Shorten a little while ago, who is a grief recovery specialist. She obviously has some very different techniques and approaches that she uses. And it's always interesting to see that, you know, we might have one common issue, and yet there are so many different modalities that we can actually tap into, some more conventional perhaps than others, to actually start moving forward and doing that healing. So if you haven't been exposed to Reiki before, I'm level 2 Reiki trained. So again, I can also do Reiki healing through distance, long distance. So if you're listening to this recording, this live show, and saying, hey, I'm not in Calgary, but I would love to work with Laurie. Yes, distance healing is just as powerful. And I know that it might sound a little strange, but it's kind of like, you know, you pick up your cell phone and off you go. You're not physically attached to the wall to be feeding electricity or feeding wireless signals. It's a remote thing. The energy travels. And being in the IT industry, you might have a different explanation for it, Laurie, on how that works. But it is something that we can tap into the energy, and we can send energy, positive healing energy, because Reiki is all about energy of love and compassion. We can send that energy to different parts of your body, different chakras, one of the 7 chakras, and help remove energy blocks. Now, in your work, you very often work from the head, and you're doing your theta healing as well, so it's a little bit more involved than the type of work that I'm doing. Very often what I'm doing is bringing in working to remove energy blocks, as I'm working with my clients who want to have more confidence. So if they want to have more confidence, very often what I'm picking up from them is a hesitation, or they tell me that they're feeling this lump in their throat. And I know I get it too sometimes as well when I have stuck energy. A lot of times it's in my throat. So we work, before we can get to the heart of the matter, we really have to work to remove that energy block so that we have nice flow to be able to open up the conversation and step into what it is that is important to them. So do you bring your Reiki to work at all, or is it a very sort of separate, you know, IT during the day, healing in the evenings and weekends, or do the two things cross paths?
Yeah, I do actually bring it to work. So when, you know, some days maybe I don't have enough sleep and I need a little bit of energy, so I'll do a self-Reiki on me in the morning. When I first wake up in the morning, I actually set my intention for the day, what I want to see as an outcome. I do believe in the law of attraction, so putting out there what you would like to have returned. So making sure that I really start my day every morning, first set my alarm half an hour early to set my intention for the day, and set my energy for the day. So we know sometimes you don't eat lunch, sometimes you're working through lunch. I'll do a little mini Reiki session on me in order to bring forward a little bit more energy. If I'm going into a really critical meeting, I will look at, you know, what the outcome that I want from that meeting, especially if I have some really strong leaders. I basically will look at the outcome and make sure that I see through the law of attraction what I want as an outcome. So again, I do my practice in the morning meditation and before I go to sleep every day.
Lovely. And it is so powerful to put that time aside first thing in the morning. I was talking with another podcasting host just yesterday, and he was talking a little bit about his practice, and I shared a little bit about mine. I mean, basically, I have an hour in the morning, and it's not a power hour where it's 20 minutes of meditation, 20 minutes of reading, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about mind work. So it's meditation, it's visualization, it's listening to some of the mind movies. Hey, Natalie, great things, mind movies. listening to some, again, pre-recordings, like holosync level recordings, doing my gratitude, doing my mantra. I mean, it's like a whole hour practice. And that is the first hour of my day, pretty much as soon as I get up. Actually, even before I get up, even as I'm lying in bed. there's some work, some self-work that I do as well. And that's really the only way to stay grounded, because pretty much as soon as I open up my computer or open up email, I can very easily get drawn into, you know, what my clients are needing that day, what, you know, proposals opportunities I'm working on that are, you know, expanding bigger opportunities, what's coming up on the radio show or podcast. It's a busy world. And just because COVID happened, my world didn't get any less busy. And I don't wear that as a badge of honor. That's just the reality, because I have chosen not to stand still during COVID and wait for the world to carry on and sort of unfold. I decided that I was going to step into my future and that law of attraction piece as well. And I was going to reinvest in myself, take some new training. So I took the Six Intelligences Bank iOS coaching program. And that has led to me looking more closely at, you know, how am I operating my business and my sales metrics, my KPIs, looking at how do I tap into technology to offer some really cool tools that wrap around personality science, bringing forward my emotional intelligence work and looking at that through a new lens, and then also bringing forward this spiritual intelligence, because there's six intelligences all together, and looking at, you know, what are those four levels of wealth? And money is just the first one. And very often we think that that is the be all and end all. Well, it's not. And so, you know, before you can have influence, you need to have that cornerstone really shored up. And from there, then we can go on and grow and expand. So it's been a really interesting journey. And, you know, law of attraction comes into play in that work as well, because I'm setting intentions, I'm being clear on my numbers, I'm using the data in my business, you know, much like a large firm does. They look at, you know, what marketing data is working, what's not working, you know, what kind of clients am I attracting, where are they coming from, what personality style do they have, and really pulling all those data points together to make important business decisions. So it's been a very cool experience. And almost as soon as I say something now, somebody asked me the other day, you know, if you had all the money in the world, it was a Facebook group, Fearless Women Facebook group, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do? And as I started typing and the answer just sort of flowed out, I was thinking, oh, this is kind of cool. I haven't thought about this for a little while. And it does connect to my overall goals, and yet it had a new slant on it. And then the very next day, I got an email from someone inviting me to an event, which was on exactly that same topic. I was like, huh, okay, thank you, universe. It works. So once again, if you're thinking that you wanted to connect, if you had questions for Laurie, the number is 712-775-6619 to dial in. Now, Laurie, you had mentioned that you had kindly put together, I usually give an opportunity for my guests to share a gift, and you had put together something special for the listeners as a way to better understand what it is that you do. So tell me a little bit more about what you're offering.
Yeah, so I'm offering 90-minute consultation. And in there, I will do an overview with the client. I'll feel the energy and determine, you know, what's required from a healing session perspective. First half an hour will be a consult, and then the next hour will be a healing session. And it'll be a blend of Reiki healing, energy healing, theta healing, and some card reading. It'll start with card reading. So it's the value's about 150 Canadian, but what I'm looking at is for them to submit their stories to me, and I will select one by October 1st and offer this healing session to them.
So the story that is going to help you decide who is the lucky winning recipient of that fabulous offer, what kind of story is it that you're looking for? What will help you make a decision on that?
So I'm looking for maybe clients that have gone through, you know, some traumatic issue with regards to COVID. We know that started in March and we're now moving into October. I know, you know, there's a lot of people that have lost family members during COVID that are looking at healing, and maybe even looking at connecting with that spirit to say goodbye. Yeah. So I'm really offering in-depth healing for any individual that really needs immediate healing because they are severely affected by COVID.
Well, Lauren, that's so generous. And I can only say that, you know, from my own personal experience, when I first connected with Laurie, I just found that, you know, I could tell right away that she was extremely seasoned and experienced, intuitive, and yet such a warm and compassionate heart. And I think that it's always great to have practitioners, whatever the modality is, that are working in the healing field, that you feel very comfortable right away sharing. And as you said, sometimes the body language is saying one thing and the voice is saying something else. And with the skill that you have, I think it's very quickly something that you can ascertain that there's a disconnect and give people the opportunity to really share what's, you know, what's on their heart. And then the cards, the beautiful cards that you work with, very often will tell the story anyway, won't they?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you for that generous offer. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to make an offer. We've got about another 5 minutes or so. For those people who are listening, if you're intrigued to learn a little bit more about the Six Intelligences program, we're actually doing a live training on this on Saturday morning. So Saturday, this coming weekend, October 3rd, at noon Mountain Time for 90 minutes, noon Mountain Time. And it'll be myself and a co-host, Jane Johnston. So she's looking at this topic of working to have a more collaborative conversation, and we're calling it sales magic. So it's basically how to have more collaborative, connected conversations, which lead to deeper relationships, which is the essence of increasing the sales in your business. So if you're a business leader, founder, entrepreneur, salesperson, team leader, and you're looking at, you know, how do I make a difference for the remaining, you know, we're in fourth quarter now, right? We're into October almost. How do we make a difference and make that last quarter count? Then we can show you a way to, through the Six Intelligences, to actually elevate your sales by 300%, up to 300%. And also demo some really cool technology that is a platform to support this. So that's something coming up on Saturday. I'll put some of the links in the show notes as well for that. And the other thing is, I will be probably taking it down next week, but if you are intrigued to learn more about the book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, currently on my website, I have a 3-chapter excerpt. So it's not the whole 8 chapters, it's 3 of them that you can electronically download, and the website is wordswomenandwisdom.com. Words, Women, A-N-D, and wisdom.com. So it's spelled out versus the ampersand sign. And if you click the red button on the left side about the free book excerpt, then you'll be able to access that and a couple of other confidence-related tools specifically for women. But don't delay, because I'm probably going to take that down. I'm doing some strategy work, and come October 1st, there'll be some different things that I'm going to be sharing with my community for the fall. So it's been really interesting sharing and listening to you sharing some of your insights, both in the IT industry today and also thinking about this whole topic of COVID. And if you wanted to leave our listeners with, you know, 2 or 3 things that really will make a difference for them being able to exist happily through COVID, to be continuing to be the best, highest potential self at work, especially, as say, women at work who want to advance in their career, have that balance between a healthy home life and a healthy work life. What final tips would you want to share? What wisdom nuggets do you have today, Laurie?
Yeah, So we did articulate it a little earlier. I think it's really important to love yourself. Make time for yourself. There's so many working mothers out there that are so busy with their kids or doing things for the community or their family that they don't take time for themselves. It's really important to make yourself important. Self-love, self-healing is so important. And when I say that is really whether it's a walk, go by the water, really do something for yourself. There's so many women out there that are just so busy 24 hours a day that they don't take the time to heal themselves. So it's really important to get burnt out very easily. So love being you, be proud of yourself, and take the time to love yourself. Yeah, I think that's really important.
So I'm just going to put that number up one more time. Actually, I'm going to put a different number up. I'll give you a 1-888 number if you had any final questions for Lori. 888-627-6008 is another way to call in to Station 1, or 323-744-4831. So 888-627-6008. Sometimes we can't get through from Canada to the U.S. if that's where you're calling from Canada on the 800 numbers. So the other number to call in directly in the last few minutes of the show is 1-323-744-4831. So this has been really interesting, and I think that it's so important for women to realize that, you know, Christina Mollett, one of my colleagues who I also quoted in my best-selling book as well, who's a courageous self-care expert, she talks about, you know, it's not about bubble baths and bonbons and chocolate and nail polish. You know, when we talk about self-care, I mean, yes, all of those things are important, and yet the self-care we're talking about is much deeper than that. It's caring for your soul and your soul needs and putting the things in place that support you from the inside out, because confidence is an inside job. And when we think about the things that we can do, you know, when we show up at work, yes, it's important to make sure that you make a great first impression. Chapter 8 in my book is talking about, you know, how to show up at work with credibility in your wardrobe and what you're wearing, how you're showing up, how you're holding your head versus, you know, you don't want to be putting your head on one side, kind of cocking your head to listen makes it look like, you know, someone is, you know, making themselves available to go for the jugular. You can't see it on the radio as much as you can see this when I do my video and podcasts, but it's a move very often that I see women doing without even being conscious that they're doing it. They put their head on one side, they're listening intently, it opens up their neck, and it really just has that unconscious bias for men very often to sort of go for the jugular, and it makes them look like they're not very confident. We also have things that we do which we don't even realize sometimes. Sometimes it's about facial expression. And one of my guests that I had on a show, it's actually my Women in Wisdom online business book club when I featured her book. Sharon Saylor is the author, and the book is called What Your Body Says, was sharing a story about watching at a training session, and she was listening so intently, and she had a mouth kind of hanging open with her, you know, her tongue just sort of loose, and she was listening so intently that she didn't realize that that resting face of hers was actually not a very complimentary face. It didn't make her look very intelligent. It made her look kind of, you know, kind of like she was not very smart. And so these are really important things that we can do that change on the outside once we're aware of them, things that I talk about in my book. And what Laurie's talking about is self-care and self-love from the inside out. So thank you very much for sharing your insights and wisdom today. It's been really cool to hear a little bit more about, you know, things haven't really changed that much by the sound of it for women in the IT industry in, you know, the last 20 years, which in some ways is sad. And yet I know that with the work that you're doing to help strengthen women from the inside out, have that clarity, the work that I'm doing to help them have more confidence, especially in speaking up, asking for what they want, I think that together, you know, we can certainly make a dent in how women in the IT industry in particular are able to accelerate and advance in their career. So I thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, my friend.
You're welcome. So listeners, have a beautiful day, and please do join myself and my colleague Jane Johnston on Saturday, October 3rd at Mountain Time. I'll put the post in the link where I have replays for this show. Make sure that you let Laurie know. And how are they doing that? Are they sending it in to me and I'm passing it on, or how do they actually send you their stories?
yychealery@gmail.com, or if you know, if they feel more comfortable sending it to you and you could pass it on, either way works.
Okay, so yychealery@gmail.com. yychealery@gmail.com. Thank you, Laurie. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to connecting with you in the future over the next few weeks and continuing my healing journey, in which you've been such an instrumental key component for that. And it's an honor to work with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye for now.